Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, Rod, we're back. We want winners. While we want winners, we didn't necessarily get winners today. The 49ers, they sort of reinvented a way to lose a football game. I'm not sure if I've ever seen this one. You lose a kicker, and then you have a 10-point lead, and because you don't have a kicker, you end up going for it on stuff like 4th and 23, and you don't score for the rest of the game. And if not for a special teams touchdown, you know, it looks even worse. And they just leave the door, like, you know how when you're a kid and, you know, your mom or dad is like, you know, make sure you shut the door behind you because you don't want to leave the door open. Flies, animals come in. The 49ers just left the door wide open. Oh my gosh. It was one of those things where I was watching and saying, okay, if my logical brain is paying attention today, the Niners should win this game easily. But my logical brain was not really working as much because I just thought, and we'll talk about this in a second, but our buddy Shelvin in the Discord right away when they gave up the first touchdown to Kyler, and I've been saying this all week, right, in the Discord, I really hope Fred plays, because if Fred doesn't play, Kyler's gonna run like crazy. Now Fred played. I don't think he was quite Fred today, but first play they do this zone read and Kyler goes all like Kyler's like, if he wanted to, he could have high-stepped like Dion, like 20 yards out. Like, that's how far ahead he was out. And so I made a joke as if to say, oh, man, you know, this team is possibly fraudulent. And Shelvin kind of got mad. I was kind of joking. But at the same time, I sort of felt like after last week we talked about it, they were unimpressive in beating a team that they should have beat. And then today, if they are 75% of who we believe they are, they probably win this game by two touchdowns, but they just did not. And so we'll kick off with my theme. My theme is more of a question to you, and we'll kind of kick this thing off, which is, we know that McCaffrey's out. We know that they've had some injury problems. We expect Dre Greenlaw to be back. Hufanga got hurt again. But are they a team today, not talking about preseason, I'm talking about today, are they a team who you would suggest is overrated or disappointing, maybe is the better word? Is this a disappointing football team 5 games into the season?
I think I don't know that I would go disappointing if you in the context of what they dealt with, you know, mm-hmm. BA being, you know, and Trent not, you know, missing training camp, you know, having them kind of ramp up for me was to be expected. I didn't expect them to come in and be playing at the top of their games after not, you know, BA had like three practices, Tom Brady said, this, you know, during the game. That's not conducive to hitting the ground running. Same thing with Trent. Then when you add in the CMC injury, the Debo injury, the Kittle, you know, all these guys have missed time. I think, while I guess you could say disappointing, I think it's disappointing with an explanation. We can explain why things are the way they are. It's not really rocket science, but nevertheless, they have been disappointing. And you mentioned now this game and then the Patriots game. We can go back 1 week to blowing that 10-point lead versus the Rams.
Yeah.
So we haven't, and then I'm sure at some point we'll talk about the division where we're now 0-2. You know,
thankfully though, Seattle also lost today.
Well, but again, that, you know, I've seen people say that all over the place so far, but that didn't really have anything to do with the division. I mean, it, you know, it overall record matters. I'm not going to make pretend that it doesn't, but the fact that we have there's a high probability, I think we'll probably be underdogs on Thursday, of going 0-3 in the division,
yeah,
which is problematic, you know, so in terms of our playoff, just making the playoffs at this point is what we need to be, you know, concerned about and stopping the bleeding, you know, because it's not looking good. And we keep saying Christian's coming back, but I mean, when? It's alarming. I'm not, you know, like panicking or, you know, I still don't think they're a bad football team, but I'm not as, you know, this is just gonna fix itself as most people seem to be. I'm concerned. You know, I'm not jumping ship by any means, but
yeah,
this is kind of concerning. Now, do we have a kicker even? I mean, this is bad. It hasn't been this bad in a long time with this football team.
I was thinking, and look, the reason why I don't think anybody should be that frustrated is because we have been in this exact scenario before, where they start poorly and they figure things out and, you know, they get on a run. Like, all of those things, if you really believe what Rod just said, which is you could have sort of predicted a slow start based on all of the things that happened in the offseason, then you're also of the mindset probably that when you get all of those things situated, and we just mentioned it, CMC, who I guess there was some good news about from Adam Schefter yesterday. Dre Greenlaw, if Hufanga can figure out his injury situation. Kittle and Debo seemingly are just tough dudes who are probably just going to be banged up, you know, every week. But if you are of that mindset that we're going to get these folks back and be in good shape, then you probably think that they could make a run. And that's kind of where I sit. But I wanted to know right now if they're disappointing. And I think they are. And the main reason I think they're disappointing is because they have way too much talent to play down to the teams that they... The Jets were supposed to be a tough team, and I think the Niners handled them pretty well. But when you get the Rams, and I'll give them the Vikings, because the Vikings were that game was sort of a schedule loss, as how Steve Kerr would suggest it. Now they should have played a lot better than they did, but you know, you play Monday night, and then you got to go in the morning, and you know, you lose a day, and all those things. So it was all there for Minnesota to take, and they took it. They played really well. But then you lose to the Rams in a game where you should have won. You let these guys back in. You beat the Patriots in an unimpressive win, but you get the win. And then today you should have steamrolled the Cardinals, who got killed by Washington last week, like just destroyed. And that team did not come into this game all that fired up. I thought, I was like, oh, I thought they were going to come out swinging. And outside of that first quarter touchdown by Kyler, they played really predictable offensive football. And I'm just watching it going like, you have this dynamic guy as your QB and you're more standard. You're just a standard dropback as the Niners were today. So the disappointing part to me is with all of that talent on the field and Jordan Mason being one of the best running backs in the league. So we can continue to say we miss Christian. Of course you miss him, because he is the utility knife of all utility knives. But it's not like Jordan Mason came in and was not playing well. He's playing all pro football right now. So I don't buy that argument that you cannot win without CMC, because the 49ers, before they got CMC, they were a very successful offense, whether it was Elijah Mitchell or Jeff Wilson or Matt Breida or Radio Raheem. Like, they were able to function without Christian. So to say that the reason they're losing is because of no Christian, I don't really buy that. And the other reason I don't buy that is because Shanahan is supposed to be ahead of the game as a play caller. I don't know why Brock is having to run for his life. I don't know if that's Brock. I don't know if that's the offensive line. I read a stat last week that Brandon Ayuk was leading the league in separation. And still, Brock is not getting rid of the ball, and he's not attacking the lower levels. And it seems like he's trying to go deeper or hit longer passes every time. And maybe maybe they see it there and they can't get there. But it's just offensively, they're just not impressive. And I don't exactly know why, especially when you have such a good game from BA today. He looked awesome. But I don't know. Brock was, I think he may have finished under 50% completion percentage today. And a lot of just dancing around and running around. And I think the highlight folks, I think the people who put clips together, I think they love that stuff, but I hate that stuff. I want him to be decisive. I want him to make decisions. I want him to go boom, boom, boom down the field. And I want them to be able to use the play action. And he's sitting there with time in the pocket and in some instances making some big plays, but in others doing nothing. And we end up killing clock and not managing the clock like we usually do. I don't know. It's such a weird performance today, but that's why I don't buy it. I don't buy that they cannot do it without CMC, because they have weapons and they're not using them.
It's hard to argue that. I don't know. That is the frustrating thing to me too, is, you know, all the discord all week in my world, it seemed like, was everybody kind of trying to, you know, make Brock one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And statistically, I'm not going to argue that, but I still believe, I said this in the offseason before any of this happened, that if, you know, it was in concert with the Purcell pick. Mm-hmm. If the 49ers ever go to 3-by-1, spread it out, and kind of play more like the Rams play, I absolutely think, yes, Brock Purdy could throw for 4,500 yards. I don't know. I think that we're a 6-10 football, 6-11 football team if that's how we choose to play. Because I haven't seen it. We have been a balanced football team and we've been good. And when Brock, to me, has been at his best, it is when we are efficient and he's right around 25 pass attempts. And like you said, he is operating from the pocket and he's making good decisions. This whole abandoning, and sometimes he's not abandoning the pocket. Sometimes there is legit pressure. But there are times when I think there are plays to be made in the pocket when he decides to leave the pocket. And like you say, for highlight purposes, that looks great. And we want to talk about Brock being the leading passer in the league. I just don't think that is winning football for us. I just don't. So you and then what ends up happening is today you get performances like this where, you know, okay, his percentage, his completion percentage may have been lower because he took a lot more deep shots, but also he took those deep shots at times when Tom Brady even pointed out he had players all over the place that he could have went to, but that he eschewed to go for the deep pass, which is not the Brock that I just wanted to stay on schedule. I don't need him to. And now this, I guess it could be hypocritical for somebody who spent 5 years complaining about the fact that Alex Smith would never throw the ball past 15 yards. Even when, so there has to be a happy medium, I guess. Take those shots, but also, you know, take what the defense is giving you and just go ahead and move the chains. Why can't, there has to be a happy medium. It's so frustrating because these are games that it feels like we're dominating. It felt like we had the Rams beat. It felt like that. It felt like we had these guys beat. And then, like you had mentioned in your open, there's just a foreboding, like, here we go. They're just, again, I think I said that 2 weeks ago. They're just hanging around. And then it's like, it's inevitable that this is how this is going to go down. And it's just so frustrating because it would be different if I got the feeling that this was just a bad football team.
Yeah.
But it's not that at all. That's what's frustrating is that we're absolutely a good football team. Now, I don't know, by the way, are the results say that we're probably not one of the best football teams in the league right now, just based on our performance, but we have the talent to be that. Like you say, even without Christian, I think the components are there to be that. It's just, you know, we need to figure it out. And can we? Absolutely. I'd much rather be trying to figure it out in October, September and October, than trying to figure it out in December. And yes, like you so astutely pointed out, we've done this before where we've kind of been scuffling along and then we hit, you know, we find our stride and then we go on a run. And that is absolutely possible. It's just, you know, we need to get it figured out. You know, what are we, who are we going to be and how are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, have Brock throwing it all over the yard? Are we going to lean on Jordan Mason? Which I think that's just the way that's where we should be going, because he has just been, you know, he's been a revelation. He really has.
That we're going to get to that in a second, because I think I'm going to start with the things that we didn't like first so that we can end on a positive note. Mm-hmm. But the things that we didn't like is probably a little bit of a longer list. But just to kind of about the foreboding of what was going on when the Cardinals scored the touchdown to get to within four. And then who was it who got the roughing the passer penalty because he basically touched the face mask?
Givens.
Is that who it was?
Mm-hmm. 91.
Yep. And so then they basically half the distance to the goal to try the 2-point conversion. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, if you are the Cardinals, you can make this extra point and you can create an opportunity to tie the game with a field goal. And when they went for it, I was like, oh, they feel like they have this defense on their heels. Because and the announcers didn't really say anything about it, because I was like, if they don't get this, Now they are down four, and they have to score a touchdown to win the game. Like, I thought it was very risky. But at the same time, they were just like, we don't believe that they could stop us, which Niners didn't, so they were right. But at that point, I posted in the Discord, I said, you know, the biggest problem with the way that they've handled the second half is you've basically set it up to where you make one mistake and you lose the game. And Mason fumbles at the 10-yard line or wherever that was, and that was the mistake, and then we couldn't stop them. Now, let's start with the things that we didn't like, because the one thing that stands out to me as I look at the box, we know that Kyle wants to run about as many times as he passes, and in some cases, he wants to run more. The split today was 35 passes. Brock did complete over 50%, by the way. 35 passes and 26 runs. Now, in those 35 passes, average yards per attempt, 7 yards. Average yards per attempt for Jordan Mason, 6.4 yards. So I know a lot of that was late, but this is how they win football games, is they wear the other team down, and yet they still wanted to drop Brock back. I'm assuming because they saw opportunities that the Niners have just not been able to hit today in almost every case, but in other times, you know, that they have been able to hit some. But it is a less predictable way to play football. I wonder what Kyle thinks about, you know, leaving, you know, the risk of not getting that play that you can get probably 99% of the time, and then giving that up for a play that maybe you get 60% of the time, but it's a bigger play. So I don't know, man. You know, they did win the time of possession, about 33-27. But when you look at a game where you're up 10 in the second half and you throw 9 more times than you run, and your running back is running at a 6.5 clip, that is an interesting thing. That stands out.
That's and the thing that the spreadsheet jockeys, I'll die on this hill, that even if it seems like your efficiency is greater throwing the ball, there's just something about, especially when you're running it at the clip that Mason is, that when you are running at guys and they can't stop it, and you know they can't stop it, there's just something psychologically that does to a team. You know, we talk about where, you know, running, keeping time of possession, which keeps your defense off of the field. And then just the, you know, we saw it last week with, with Derrick Henry. I mean, when a guy like, you know, having to tackle, you know, physical players, and I'm not necessarily putting him in the category of a Derrick Henry, but the fact of the matter is Jordan Mason is a problem, and he is not somebody that I have to believe defenses want to tackle, because he runs really hard. He mm-hmm. is a physical runner, and there's a toll that takes on a defense that you might not be able to account for on a spreadsheet when you're talking about run versus pass. And I think that 30 number that, you know, we're something like, you know, 27 and something low in losses when a Kyle Shanahan team gets 30 or 30 more or more attempts. I think that just has something to do with it. The batter ramming now effect on the defense. Now, also, there is a physical toll that it takes on us too. So that can't be understated. Yeah. But I just think that I've always liked, going back to the Harbaugh days, you know, I grew up a West Coast offense guy. So pass it all around the yard, passing game, short passes, you know, in lieu of the running game. But Harbaugh converted me. I am a physical with an F guy. Greg Roman. I want to run the ball down these guys' throat. That is just, and I just think that is the best version of us. And I think Jordan Mason lines up very well with that, you know, and I'm looking at these stats. You know, I don't love, you know, 4 for 33 from Brock. I mean, that's just not where I think we need to be with his importance to us. And just, man, Brock, just stay in the pocket and dissect these dudes. In Kyle's defense, if he needs defending, he's given him options. There are places for him to go with the ball efficiently and just get it out of his hands. You know, he just seems to, you know, he wants to do his thing. And, you know, this goes back to what people have said about him, you know, back at Iowa State, is that he was kind of a YOLO guy. He wanted to make the big play, which is not a bad thing in a vacuum. But when you're trying to control the clock and control the game, I would just love to see us move the chains more. And that is one of the things that I didn't like is, again, our third down efficiency continues to be a problem. I mean, we just, with all of the effective in a, you know, Ayuk was great. Mason was great. We can't seem to execute on third down and in the red zone. Those are the times in the game where we need to be able to execute, and we continue to seem to struggle at those moments.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
If you ask me, and because this was also on my list for things we didn't like, was the red zone. If you asked me what players should be really, really good inside the red zone because of their ability to do multiple things, Debo would be on my list. Kittle would be on my list. And as a tough receiver towards the back of the end zone, JJ would be on my list. Now, maybe JJ, his lack of speed, maybe it hurts him when they make the field a little bit smaller. But the fact that they are still having trouble in the red zone, and, you know, they did this late in the game where they went three wide with Kittle going wide, and then they motioned Mason outside. So they had literally had five receivers for Purdy to pick and choose from. I would have gone the other way. And this is with me not knowing 1% of what Kyle knows about offensive football. But I was thinking, well, why don't you move Debo around the field. Why are we not seeing this dude in motion? Why isn't he in the backfield? Why aren't we play actioning him? Why aren't we getting him running a route out of the backfield just to create some frustration on the other side? Because they were just dropping back. 1, 2, 3. Brock supposed to throw. Nope. Can't find anybody. Nope. Get out of the pocket. And then it's just this, you know, this race, the chickens with their heads cut off. I thought, man, you know, you have these guys who can do multiple things. Why aren't you putting the Arizona defense on their heels and, you know, worrying about who's going to cover who and why? And they're just, they seem to be very predictable in those spots, and they have a team that allows them to not be predictable. So I don't know. That was kind of my couch coaching offensive football from what I was watching.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just maddening. It really is just maddening. My next thing I didn't like was just Purdy's inconsistency. It was like he came out, he hit those big passes that you early, but he just kind of felt shaky to me all day. And then the two picks were super costly. You know, and then he just finished with, you know, was it with 62 percent quarterback rating. He was under, while as you pointed out, he finally did end up over 50%. He spent a large chunk of the game under 50%. Mm-hmm. It was just a really, really uneven performance. He seemed to be out of the pocket a lot. You know, he was only sacked twice, but it was just really uneven.
And he also last week had an issue with his back after the game, and he was on, I think he was on the early injury report before, but it wasn't serious. And so, you know, he did a lot more of what he was doing in New England today. And I'm hopeful, you know, he was doing a lot of juking, man. There's a couple of things where I was like, this dude's, what is he watching, Walter Payton highlights? What's going on here? The two interceptions. So the first one, he was stepping up in the pocket, possibly running, and then he saw a little dump off to George. And because he is smaller, he is going to get the ball batted down more than other quarterbacks. And that looked like something that, you know, maybe he should have seen. And not, you know, he's probably going to try and throw that, but you also see where he's got to throw. Sometimes he has to throw from different angles, but he just saw something and he threw and they timed it perfectly. And it was a great play. The second interception, which was to end the game. Now, Shelvin and I were talking about this, and I don't know if you rewound that play, but what happens is the Niners are in hurry up. So I don't know how they get into hurry up and whose job it is to look at all the possible blitzers to point them out or whatever, or how you make those calls in a hurry up. But what happens is Jordan Mason, he is essentially blocking two guys. He chooses the inside guy, and it's possible he chose the inside guy for two reasons. One, he sees the outside guy come a little bit late. That's possible. Or two, he expects Colton McKivitz to step in the way and then get back to the far outside guy. Like, I don't know enough about blocking schemes, especially around the blitz, but I was just trying to figure out, okay, whose job was it here and there? I know a lot of people are blaming Mason for it. I don't know if that's, is that Brock as he gets to the line signaling to guys like, hey, you know, this guy's coming, because it seems like Mason saw him late and McKivitz just didn't even look in that direction. He just blocked the guy on the edge coming from the outside. And so that allowed the blitzer to hit Purdy before the ball, you know, before he could get the ball out. And then they got another diving, jumping in the air interception. So you know, two really good plays by the Cardinals. But at the same time, I wish one of the writers would have asked Kyle about that specific play. Not that it lost them the game or anything, but it's just one of those things where when, you know, when you expect them to win and you expect them to be good, you can kind of point out little plays and go, how come they did? How come that happened the way that it happened? But yeah, I thought in that part of the game, I'm thinking Brock's got the control. He's got the ball. He sees everything. But really, whose job is it to signal to these guys in a hurry up that, hey, look out, watch out for this blitzer until the ball is snapped?
I think it was just a good call by the Cardinals, because the little bit I do know about pass protection tells me that Mason can't let the inside guy go.
That's the one that he blocked.
You have to it's always inside out, mm-hmm. because the inside guy is the immediate threat. If you just let him go and go get the outside guy, well, you just given the closer guy in
a straight line. Yeah.
A straight line. So he has to, so they put him in a bind because he has to get this guy, but it looked like he was responsible for both of them, which is kind of impossible. It's not, you know, so on a sight read, again, it's like, is it his responsibility to call that? Does McKivitz have to sight read and understand where the weakness in the protection is? And again, it's the same principle. Whatever he was doing outside has to take a back seat to, in this case, that's his end. The guy who came through is his inside guy. Mm-hmm. He can't just give him a free run. Even if that's his responsibility on the outside, if I see this guy on the inside with a clear path, what I can't do is, if I understand the protection and understand what Mason's responsibility is, I can't just assume that he's going to catch that because he's got his own guy. So mm-hmm. I have to shut that off. And again, I don't know a whole bunch about it but what I do know about it is, if I were coaching it at Pee Wee level, that's what I would tell my tackle, mm-hmm. is if you see this guy running free, you need to stop him first. And if you can, maybe it is just a chip and maybe that's enough. And then you go to your other responsibility, but we can't give this guy a free run. And maybe a chip is just is all that Brock needs in that circumstance. If he just bumps him, maybe it gives him enough time to get to the wide ass open George Kittle that is right there. But yeah, that was clearly a breakdown. That, you know, so it goes on Brock's record, but I don't necessarily know if that's his fault necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of our poor pass protection concept and then a good defensive call. It was clearly a good call by their DC. So
yeah. All right. Do you have anything else on your list?
We did red zone failure. Oh, I guess from on the other side, we talked about our third down woes. The Cardinals were 6-for-11 on third down.
Oh wow.
We just and 1-for-1 on fourth down. So we just could not get them off the field.
Back foot fadeaway throw.
He's just throwing it up, eyes closed. Yeah, that was very disappointing. In the past 2 weeks, especially, I don't think we've talked about it much. I haven't heard anybody talk about it much. The fact that Sorensen has been a lot more aggressive, mm-hmm. With his calling of blitzes. Like the first 3 weeks, I think I saw, which was kind of on brand, we were like at 14%, which was one of the lowest blitzing teams in the league, which has kind of been Kyle's, you know, ever since he's taken over, that's kind of been our MO. But he blitzed a lot last week, and we got some this week. But you know, when it counted, we just couldn't seem to get off the field. So that was a little disappointing.
The other thing, and I kind of mentioned this already, but I find it hard to believe that they cannot shake Debo loose. I think he had one catch and he had one rush for 1 yard today. And you would think that with the with their lack of CMC, you kind of look towards Debo to fill some of that void. And I get it. BA had a great game, so a lot of the throws went his way. But I'm talking about from a screen game perspective, or from a, you know, they did run one reverse, but, you know, I guess he had maybe he had more than 1 yard, or maybe one of those carries actually did go for zero or whatever. But I think he had two carries. I would just try and get him the ball more than two or three times a game, because he just has that big play ability that he could break one open. And we've seen it happen so many times where they need something and he's the guy that provides it. So I just, it was just kind of, it stood out to me that he did not really even get many chances at all.
I mean, and he is a guy kind of like Mason. It's funny that I'm making that comparison already, that he can make something big happen because of his ability to run through tackles. You have to show up in swarms with Jordan Mason, because one guy or arm tackles are just not going to bring him down. And Debo is the same way. If you just get him the ball in space, you make that guy have to make a tackle. And I agree, in the screen game, you just put the ball in his hands, and then, you know, maybe it is just a short game, but he has the ability to make that short 3 or 5 yard completion into a 25 yard completion with his ability after the catch. So I understand that JJ has had a hot hand. So, you know, you figure out you need to get him the ball. Ayuk obviously is the X, so you got to get him the ball. But I just figure you have to find a way to get Debo the ball too. That's something that, you know, Kyle has, you know, heretofore done a great job of. Everything just seems a little off, you know, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, we can turn to some positive, because it wasn't only a negative game. Like I said, mm-hmm. they did have a 10-point lead in the second half. It's from what I understand, first regular season game that Kyle has lost a 10-point lead before. I think it was like 38-0 was the stat that they mentioned. So I'll go first with things that we liked. You got to start with Ayuk. He was awesome. He looked great today. He and Brock, it's so funny, because if you would have gone back to the beginning of the game, you would have thought, oh, it's going to be another one. Because their first two passes, Brock missed them both times. And we're like, oh, the synergy or the chemistry or whatever. But then they just went to town, and they looked as good as they've ever looked. And what did BA end up with?
8 for 147.
So, I mean, that is who you are paying for when you pay him the amount of money that he signed for. That is the guy. If you get 8 for 147, then you just kind of, you know, you wash your hands and go, that's why we paid him that money. And I thought it was awesome. It would have been great to see him shake loose in the end zone. To get that kind of going, but that didn't happen. I thought he was awesome today.
Kind of within that, though, if you wanted to go back to things I didn't like, was that he was 6 for 115 in the first half, mm-hmm. which would have made him 2 for 30 in the second half, which is kind of, you know, jibes with the fact that Brock didn't have a great second half.
Yeah.
My thing, I guess my first thing that I liked was Bosa, particularly his interception. That I thought at the time, I have it right here, is his momentum shifting.
Oh yeah, I think we all thought, okay, mm-hmm. they're gonna win this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know, 4 tackles, 2 for loss, a sack, and an interception with a 30-yard return, I might add. That was something I really liked, because, you know, Nick's been kind of quiet, and it was good to see him break out today.
Yeah, yeah. He had a couple of other really nice plays in the run game as well. I know the numbers suggest that he is pressuring the quarterback, and I think it's just one of those things where you're just waiting to see all of that come to fruition. I thought, I was going to say Leonard Floyd had a decent game, but then I remembered, if you remember the one of Kyler's runs, Leonard Floyd was, I think he's just supposed to protect the edge, but he gets pancaked and pushed so far inside that he was almost in the place that Bosa was in, where Bosa was rushing for, and they're on opposite sides of the field. I was like, oh my God, dude, like that was ridiculous. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to get some positive and negative. There's going to be some negative when a guy like him is just available as he is. But you know, there were other moments where I thought he was in there on some stuff, but I'm just waiting, you know, you're waiting for that 2-sack game from Bosa. You're waiting for him to cause havoc where he's sacking the quarterback and forcing a fumble, but they're not getting a lot of that. And, you know, I'm already giving Fred the benefit of the doubt that the dude is probably just, you know, not feeling great, because he wasn't much of a game changer today. But the other thing that I think we have to celebrate, I had a post in the Discord and a tweet in from the BSPN media account on Twitter. Where's the special in our special teams,
man?
And then they got the block, and then Lenore with the return. I was like, how do you lose games when you do stuff like that? It's kind of rare.
Flipped the field at one point with a punt down to the 9. It was clear. It was not even close. This was the best special teams game that we had all season, and we just flubbed it. Obviously, you know, Moody made 2 and a PAT while he was able to. Have you heard anything about his injury? I haven't seen anything.
A high ankle sprain. And they asked Shanahan after the game, like on a short week, what's the process in getting it? And Shanahan just basically said, like, that's up, you know, they're already on the phones calling kickers. And he said kickers are like independent contractors anyways. They're just like waiting for a call to be hired. So yeah, I don't know, man. You couldn't, you know, it's the, not that any week would have been good for him to go down, but on a short week, I imagine that just increases their anxiety. But, you know, his one opportunity to show that he was an actual football player, and his whole foot gets rolled on. Like, oh man, that poor guy.
just show he's a football player.
Nope. I only say that because I know that, you know, it's an ankle sprain. He didn't break his foot, or he mm-hmm. didn't tear an ACL. I would have felt really bad for him. So it's just a little joke. But you know, that, the special teams were a positive. They did give up a long return, which is how he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you know, we don't usually see that stuff. So.
And we didn't mention Money Making Mitch's 1-for-1.
Yeah.
As a field goal kicker.
Yeah. Did you see, though, when they were driving, this was right before the Jordan Mason fumble. They were around like the 25 or something. And Mitch helmet off. Like, I wonder if Shanahan's just like, dude, you're not kicking. Like, unless we get like within the 10, like, don't even worry about it. Like, helmet off, you know, hand on his hip. I don't know if you know what Chuck Klosterman looks like, but that's kind of who Mitch looks like. He looks like Chuck Klosterman.
Even Brady was like, why don't you over there kicking some balls into the net or something? You know, just he's like, nope. Like, yep. You say, maybe Kyle today, man. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, we're gonna run this thing all the way down. And, yeah, it didn't happen though. All right, let's talk a little bit. The other thing I wanted to mention from the presser, because I did catch the end of it. They talked about practice, and he said tomorrow is just getting the guys off of their legs, rehydrating after a game like this, and they aren't even gonna have like a normal practice until the game on Thursday, which is a short week, but it's a short week for Seattle too. And both teams lose. I don't know if Seattle was playing in, I doubt they're playing in 100 degree weather like the 49ers were, but you know, both teams kind of coming in with a little bit of an edge. And you know, there's really, I'm kind of out of excuses for them not playing up to standard. I think this is going to be the week where they're going to have to kind of go, okay, like, we need to show these guys who we really are. And Seattle's probably feeling the same way, so it should be a really good game. Do you have your blame pie?
It was pretty much equal blame all around. It was the offense. I couldn't really, there were two things that I considered, but I couldn't separate them. It was Brock in the red zone struggles. How much does he get blamed for that? How much does Kyle get blamed for that? So they both get blamed equally. So that was that. And then the defense and the big plays, you know, while they made big plays, they couldn't stop the Cardinals at critical points throughout the game. You know, be it that fourth down dagger that just killed us, and then the 6-for-11. That's a crazy efficiency on third down for a team that has been, you know, flat awful on third down all the rest of the season. Those were the two that got equal blame for the loss.
All right. What's next on my list? Oh, we got our coach Singh player of the week here. Let's play the soundbite.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
In a game in which the 49ers don't play really well, who did you choose for your player of the game?
This season, it has not, every week, it has been a slam dunk. It's easy. It's been easy. It was BA, of course. I mean, he was just, you know, he had what, more yards today than he had in the previous four games combined. Just to highlight what a great week it was for him. You know, 8-for-146 with a 53-yarder, 47. Even with, if he basically kept the offense moving, even as, you know, we struggled to get the ball into the end zone, he was the man today. So he hopefully, this was a get right game for him. And as we move forward, you know, this will be the type of production that we see from him moving forward. So coaching player of the game, BA, great job.
Yeah. I think the only, if it wasn't BA, might've had to give it to Patrick Willis, and he hasn't put on pads in a long time. they honored him for his Hall of Fame induction. So that was cool. You could see that at halftime. I remember, I think it was last year or the year before, I saw Patrick, and you know, like you see these guys on television, they're just like these giant humans. And Patrick is a thick, athletic guy, but he was like a little shorter than I thought. I was like, wait, is that Patrick? He's not as tall as I thought, but great. What a great 49er. So happy for him that he got it. So also, I just wanted to read so far. We've had now five coaching players of the game. Jordan Mason was week one. Week two was Fred Warner. Week three was JJ. Week four was also Fred Warner. So we add BA to the mix, and we hope that it's not his first time winning the Coach Singh Player of the Week. You know, I guess we have to bring this up just because it was Tom Brady. Did you like his commentary today?
It was kind of vanilla, although I will give him credit. He said something in the fourth quarter that was insight that I had never heard anybody else say, that when in a fourth quarter comeback scenario, he always thought in terms of yards to seconds.
Yes.
So in that case, he talked about if we had 55 yards, if we had 55 seconds, we had enough time. And then he mentioned that the 49ers in this case, they had like 130. So they were ahead of schedule in terms. That was insight that I'd never heard anybody else give. So that was cool. But other than that, he's still kind of trying to find his way, I think. It's not great.
He made some noises during some plays where my dogs kind of perked up, like they were kind of looking around because it was such a high-pitched squeal. There was another moment that I thought was really funny. Arizona, like he gets geeked up for certain offensive things that happen, and Arizona was about to do something. And then I think the play got called. The play got stopped. I don't know if it was like a delay game or something. And then Tom goes, "Oh darn it!" I was like, "Darn it! Where's darn it come from?" He also, he's got the Botox smile going on. That's very clear. He's got that smile. If you know the Botox smile, I don't. The thing that I think is going to make him likable, because he is, just because he's Tom Brady, he is already unlikable. But what makes Tony Romo, when Tony Romo was hot, or even someone like Greg Olsen, is there is a charm to their personality that makes you feel like they're hanging out on the couch, like talking to you, like you're like, oh man, I wish Greg was here so I could ask him why this thing happened. And Tom is here's a funny comparison, but only because I really pay attention to like Hollywood media and stuff as well as sports media. But Tom Brady is kind of like Tom Cruise in that when you see him on the field or in a movie, you're like, wow, that dude is a movie star. And then when you see them in person, you're like, that guy he's kind of weird. Like he doesn't seem approachable. Like he doesn't seem like a regular dude, you know, that kind of thing. And I think Tom Brady has to figure out a way to be more of a regular guy. But how do you do that when you're, you know, one of the best football players of all time? Like, you know, someone else who struggled with that and then just gave it up was Joe Montana. Remember when they put him in the studio show on NBC and you're like, Joe, you're a great football player, but you look like Cindy Brady when the light comes on the Brady Bunch. Like your eyes were just bugged out and you did not look comfortable. And that's, I think Tom will get better. I don't know if it's a natural thing for him necessarily to do this job, though.
Well, and that's the thing, that, you know, it's not his fault, because like you say, you know, guys like, to me, like guys like Herbstreit or even Aikman or Olsen, particularly for me, I really like Greg Olsen. It is like sitting on the couch watching football with Greg Olsen. I think it's hard if you're Tom Brady, because the weird part aside, it's like, how can it be like sitting just a regular guy when he's Tom fucking Brady? I mean, this is, you know, that is, it's one of those weird things. I listened to two bears in a cave, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, and, you know, Tom Segura, they're comedians. Tom Segura was talking about hanging out with Brad Pitt. And I mean, mm-hmm. he's like a real cool dude, but he's fucking Brad Pitt. I mean, it's weird to kind of, even if they end up being like really cool guys for us, I mean, it's like a mind fuck that this guy is, he's like a movie. I mean, like a huge movie star. It's just, it's weird. So hopefully, I mean, I'm rooting. I want them dudes to be successful. In any of them in their endeavors. And like, it was a revelation. Everybody kind of, I think that player, you know, making that transition, Tony Romo set that bar really high. Like, he mm-hmm. was good immediately. I think regardless of how you feel about him, that you have to acknowledge that when he was like a bat out of hell immediately, he mm-hmm. was really good. And so I don't think it's fair to hold Tom Brady to that standard, but you know, that kind of is where we're at. And, you know, he's getting better, because that first one was kind of hard to watch. and he wasn't off-putting today by any means, but there wasn't a whole lot of value add overall. And I'm damn sure not turning it on to watch him.
Yeah, it was an interesting opportunity for him, because you had two quarterbacks who don't really play the position like he played it. Mm-mm. Like, he was joking about how, you know, Brock's like running around and he has like so many seconds to throw, and then Burkhardt was like, what's the longest you ever had to throw? He's like, 2.7. like, that was funny. But it was funny in a way of, if you understand football, then you got the joke. But if my mom was watching, she probably wouldn't have understood why he said 2.7. so there's a casual ask, like, he's such a football nerd that I don't know if he could think about it in any other way. Like John Madden, for instance, now we're comparing him to like the greatest of all time, but
right,
you know, John Madden would have compared it to something that anybody could have understood.
That was relatable. And that was, like you say, I mean, nobody has ever done, you know, related to the casual. And I don't mean that as a pejorative, but the casual fan the way John Madden did. I mean, that was his whole shtick, was that he was able to make the game understandable to my mom, or you know, somebody who had never watched a game before. He was able to do that, and again, that is an impossibly high standard. That is something that he definitely needs to work on.
Yeah,
and it's unfair to him that he, like, you know, low key, Greg Olsen won an Emmy last year for his work, and then he gets demoted to number two, and so Tom Brady has to replace an Emmy winner, and he's flatly just not as good as Greg Olsen, at this point, but he's Tom Brady, so
exactly. He's going to get an opportunity, and then if he just doesn't want to do it anymore, he just won't do it.
Right.
And that'll kind of be the gig for him. All right. So Thursday, Niners and Seahawks. If we look at the current standings after five games, the Seahawks are still atop the NFC West with 3-2, the Cards and the Niners 2-3, Rams are 1-4. If you want to look glass half full here, there are 16 teams in the NFL who have a plus differential, which means there are 16 teams who have a minus differential, which is the You know, this is parody, right? This is
the essence of parody.
This is Paul, what Paul Tagliabue wanted in his NFL. And they have it. And the 49ers still have a better plus differential than even the Seahawks. And when it comes to teams that are under 500, the Niners are the only team. Actually, the Niners and the Jets are the only two teams with a under 500 record who have a plus differential. So that is some optimism if you want to look at it that way. But really, you know, this is not a must win game against Seattle on Thursday, but you want to see them figure some things out. Six games is over a third of the season. So you can even look at it that way by the time we come to Thursday. And we will be back after the game on Thursday night, and we'll have a conversation, and then we'll have Sunday off. We'll just be able to do whatever we want. I'll be in Arizona for my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations to your parents.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back Thursday night. So for Rod, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.